Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
The Flash finds its director, Shazam finds its wizard, and Justice League finds an extra scene today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes.
The lights.
Legends of the universe.
All right. Yay! Disney Movie News. Here we are. Welcome, one and all. Welcome. Here's the show where we talk about all things DC Movie News with some TV stuff thrown in just to fill it out. Let's meet our gorgeous panel, starting all the way down there. You know where it's that Elena Jordan girl somewhere over there. Hey.
It's me.
How's it going? It's me, Elena.
Elena.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Thank you. How was your week in DC Entertainment?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How about yourself?
I watched a lot of CW shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of CW.
A bunch to talk about. TV time. I know Roxy's excited.
I know.
We'll
definitely move. Speaking of TV time and Roxy Stryer and her ever-changing hair color, is it different? It's more.
Yeah. I put more pink in it. You guys didn't notice enough last time, so I had to go for it.
So you just throw more at it.
Yeah.
It works. I like it.
Thank you so much.
It's Roxy Stryer over there.
All right. So it looks like I'm fiercely trying to play a video game on my phone, but that is not what's happening. I'm trying to tweet from our account, but, like, I just can't.
It's locked.
It just isn't happening.
Are you crushing the candy? Is that what's happening?
No, I'm trying to tweet a picture of us. We took a very nice picture. You're two-faced in it, or more like half-faced.
Yes, half a face, because it was up close.
It's not candy, but it's just like,
won't go.
Okay, you keep working on that, and I'll introduce the third member of the panel. Returning to the show, fan favorite, ladies and gentlemen, the killer, the crusher. What's your name these days?
K.O.
Kalinowski.
Hello.
There he is, Mikey Christmas.
What's K.O. for, like, knockout?
Yes,
knockout.
Ma'am.
Knockout.
We're going with that's knockout in 2018?
I think so.
That's the start of 1, 2, 3, I love you, 1, 2, 3. The first thing they say is knockout.
That's what we were thinking. I mean, that's where it's obviously from.
What?
Yeah, totally. Just not.
What's been happening lately since I've
been gone?
You
didn't even know what Eskimo Bros were,
no,
bro.
No, and I'm proud that I did know what it was.
That I do know.
I'm proud I didn't know what that was.
God.
Nope.
Anyway.
Yeah, you should be proud of that. Mike Kalinowski, have you competed this year in 2018?
No, I have one coming up soon that it's a big one.
Oh, is this the three-way?
The three-way, yeah.
I know about that.
People are sleeping on me on that one, so I'm the underdog this year going into it. But you know what?
That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
I've seen other people on Twitter are calling for this to be the year of the knockout.
We'll see what happens.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Anyway, I'm glad you're here because we haven't really talked about a lot of stuff.
I know.
Hate us.
Yeah, I hate you. I hate you. That's what we've decided.
Name a song that has I hate you in it.
I don't see how this is relevant to our cause. You need us to get to TV time in a certain
time.
That's true. You're not helping.
I'm not helping.
She's making
it
worse.
I'm not helping from that point forward.
Folks, my name is Adam Gertler. I am humbly filling in for Johnny LaQuasto, who is working on officiating or hosting or emceeing a wedding.
Yeah.
Whoa. Just going to leave that alone.
It's a digital space wedding. Because I believe it's for a past guest of the show, Cody Decker.
Yeah, she was here last week.
Yeah. And she's your friend and she's wonderful.
I'm supposed to be at this wedding.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just a rehearsal.
Oh, okay.
Just a rehearsal.
Panic. Wow. I'm supposed to be at this wedding.
We almost lost Mikey.
Amazing. Jen Sturger. Jen Sturger. Yes.
Jen Sturger
and
Cody Decker.
It's a digital host wedding.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So congratulations,
Jimmy. Well,
okay, you scared me there for a second.
No, the panic that went in Mike's face. No, we're concentrating still.
Okay.
Black Lightning, I see you.
Are you still with us?
Yes.
Let's start talking about things in the world of movies. Couple of interesting stories to talk about. Many of you have probably been hearing some rumblings in the world of Flash or Flashpoint. It turns out we have some directors potentially found.
Yeah.
These are the guys who are two of the writing team that worked on Spider-Man Homecoming. They are the writers of the very popular cult classic film National Lampoon's Vacation.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No,
they're the directors of the most recent remake.
Vacation.
So this isn't the one with Christie Brinkley and Chevy Chase.
But they are the writers. You were correct with the first thing you said.
Yes.
They're the writers of Homecoming.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
I would have thought they would have been really old and young, rather, in 1983 when that
they
vacation
They were two of the writers.
So they had nothing to do with the Family Truckster?
No.
The original.
Bummer. Does this change your opinion on them?
Big time. Okay, so guys, flashpoint. Let's just get it all out there on the table. What do you think? Do you think it's still happening? We haven't even had you post Hamada being now in charge of DC Pictures and all this shakeup that's gone on over at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So what is your reaction to this? Mikey, let's start with you.
Why so gaped mouth?
I feel like I've been, it's been ongoing with people that I've tried to step back from commenting on stuff. I've learned, I think, over the past couple weeks that you can't win an argument on Twitter.
You can't.
You can't even have an argument on, you can't even have an argument. You can't even post your opinion about a subject without it turning into something. So I've kind of stopped. People are like, news articles. You see the thing with media. Some people, they lead with, from the directors of the Vacation movie.
Mm-hmm.
No, in media, you always start with the person's strongest thing. You know, you always say, the writers of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right.
But depending on the way your media wants to bias your opinion of your audience, you're going to put whatever you want to put. So Vacation, if I saw just the directors of Vacation as the director of Flash, I don't know about that. The writers of Spider-Man Homecoming, that I'm excited for.
But would you be more excited for them writing it? Because I think that you put what they directed because that's their role.
I think in this.
They direct and wrote the Vacation film, though, right?
Right, but they did not direct Spider-Man Homecoming.
Right.
So I don't really know if it's necessary.
I see Mikey's point, though. With the clickbait media and all this stuff, the way they formulate that title sentence is how they want you to feel about it.
Right.
So basically, what you're suggesting is that by leading with Vacation, which people didn't really love, I was kidding, obviously, I know the difference. By leading with that, you're kind of like wanting to shit on these guys.
Yeah, right away.
So that aside, biases aside, what do you think? What do you think of the direction? Because I have an opinion myself, but I mean, I'm curious what you think.
I think they have a voice for the character. They wrote, they clamored for how well Spider-Man portrayed Peter Parker in the high school setting. They said that was the best we ever had Spider-Man. Well, that's, directing, that's great, but it's the printed words on the page that start first.
Right.
So that was that blueprint that got them, everyone is now clamoring, saying that this is the best Spider-Man we've ever seen. I don't know if I agree with that saying.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, you're a big fan of as well?
I am, yeah.
Did they write on that one?
No, I just like the film.
But I think their voice of any of the Justice League, Flash would be the guy that they would have a voice for.
I have a couple of different thoughts on this. Number one, I always think that it's very admirable when you are able to wear so many hats as well as they are. And I think that they are able to wear a director's hat and a writer's hat very well. I also like when my director is able to wear a writer's hat because usually they somehow influence the script. They make their little tweaks. They know what the words are trying to say, and they have a stronger vision on how to present that on screen. So I do like that. Do I feel like when DC is in this position right now, this is the strongest pick they could make? No, I don't. I feel like a lot of people have been talking about getting involved in DC projects, and they really could have their pick of the litter right now. And to pick these directors is a strange move, not to mention who they were possibly going with first, which I don't know if we want to talk about that or not. But I don't know if this is the strongest.
When you say first, I mean, you could be talking about a long line of directors who have been attacked.
I'm talking about Affleck right now.
We also keep talking about these directors. It's John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein.
Yes.
And the fact that we haven't even said their names
yet. Exactly.
I think that's kind of a testimony to what you're saying, is that we're not saying that this is a movie that would be spearheaded by a name that we recognize necessarily. And when this is such a big movie, especially because my issues with it is really just the fact that they're having a flashpoint right now when we don't have an established universe that we need to have more time for.
I thought the same thing.
See, now
we were talking about everything. Think about the fact we were talking about Zemeckis.
Right.
That's what we were had been talking about.
Right. I'm sorry. What were you going to say? You had an interjection there?
I just to counterpoint to you ladies, 5 years ago, we were saying so-and-so Russo who?
Right. I'm not saying that he won't do that they won't do a great job.
I think
that's
DC
not what I said
is taking
all,
a step back and
Mike,
going...
To be clear.
Okay. DC is doing... Maybe they're going for directors that they can have a little more control with, which Marvel has done. Before, they were going for the Branaghs and this and that. And now they're getting these directors that haven't really done anything, or they're lower, you know, status, and now they're saying, you know what, come in here, make your films, you know, work with us, work here, and then you build from there. I think it's an incredibly smart move.
It seems different than it's certainly different than getting like the Matt Reeves, who seems a little bit more of an established auteur. It's different. And also, I did hear some criticism. I'm not saying I agree with it, but the idea that after Sugihara and people came out and said aping Marvel was a bad idea, some people do have to point to the fact that, well, these guys just directed, you know, just wrote this Marvel film. But the tone does seem right for The Flash.
Yeah, of any character, The Flash is the character that would fit Spider-Man.
And I would like to take a Babe Ruth moment if I could point and call a shot.
Please
right
do
now.
It.
I'm going
do
to
the
say
point and call it.
Do I'm going to call it that it's not going to be Flashpoint. It's going to be a Flash movie. I'm saying it's not going to be Flashpoint.
And I would like that
it would
so
be
much.
Smart if that was
because
the case.
I just think that a lot of things that were on the table before Hamada took over are everything's being reassessed. And like you said, like they know that their back's against the wall, that they have under a lot of scrutiny. They're making pointed decisions.
I don't know if I disagree or agree. And you girls have said that you don't have the groundwork. And I disagree.
We've said what?
We said that they don't
you
have
said
the groundwork.
You just said you don't have
don't
the basis
have...
for the all the world.
No, I'm saying that. Oh,
but what
well,
we just said.
Say
we
that.
Just said.
You said you girls said. I didn't say anything of that. Oh.
This side of the, someone over on this side of the
panel. I didn't say anything like that. So I just want to be
I'm
clear.
Saying if you're gonna have a Flashpoint
like
movie that
right.
is going to be this large scale without a set established DCEU that is completely cohesive,
right?
And you're going to have something that's going to potentially upset it and change the arc
well,
of it intentionally, then having directors attached to it that aren't necessarily recognizable is a risk.
Okay. And I think now how many films we've had, Flashpoint is Flash, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, the three worlds. We're going to have had one or two Wonder Woman films by this point, plus Justice League with Wonder Woman and all
Wait,
the Amazons.
What, the people you just named, are you saying
they're
that...
Flashpoints, the main part of Flashpoint.
Right, but right. you've also got a lot of other stuff going on.
Yeah, let me get to this, what I'm saying. It is they're going to do what a Civil War has done, where Civil War was 60 years of comic book history, Fantastic Four, but they took the essence of what Civil War was and made a movie out of it. They're going to take the Flashpoint name. We will have known who these Amazons are infinitely well known who these people are, their history, their culture. By the time we get to Flashpoint, we will
now
know the Amazons.
How many movies did we have before Civil War?
How many what
movies did we have before Civil War?
Probably like 12 or 13, I think. Yeah.
I think that's the main difference.
Yeah. No, yeah. It doesn't matter because
to me it does.
Okay, all right. Well, let's move on because it's not a point. Then we're gonna it's gonna go into the ground arguing it.
Okay.
You need to know that the Amazons exist. You need to know the Atlanteans exist. They fight. You need to know that Batman is who Batman is, and that Superman is from Krypton.
But
that's the
I
essence
think most importantly,
of Flashpoint.
You need to care.
You're saying if you're going this, we need to have 12 films. That's Infinite Crisis. That is an Infinite Crisis. You need to know 12 films. We only need to know
I'm not saying you,
X amount of films.
You're
to
talking
do
about knowledge, and I'm talking about heart.
I'm saying
I think
we're
you need
also
to be
saying
in it.
From a marketing standpoint too. If you're going to have something that's going to be a big selling point, like Flashpoint could be,
but I don't think they're saying that.
But it could be. That's what we're saying. It's like this is a marketing standpoint that coming from a marketing standpoint. This is something that could have had a huge impact on the DCEU and could have been a possibility for them to then rebrand, and then they didn't really take advantage of that.
What's really cool is the chat, first of all, is lit right now,
yeah.
which is my millennial term of the day,
all
and,
sides,
and
yeah.
all different sides, so that's pretty cool.
I will just say that I kind of agree with both of you, too, because I agree with Mikey that you have the information that you need. However, I also agree with Roxy that the caring is a big factor, and that's what we saw with Justice League. People not invested in the death and rebirth of Superman really kind of stumbled for them because it was sort of building this arc that because people weren't super invested in it emotionally, that's why people weren't turning out to, you know, see the resurrection of Superman. So continuing down that path.
But what in Flashpoint resonates that you are invested in? Like, what was the big... When you read the comic, what was like, holy crap, that... It, for me, it was Bruce in his letter from
Bruce.
His father.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't... We... You've got that going into this with Bruce and everything. You know. To see... if you got... what's his name? Thomas Wayne. The actor.
Negan.
Yes.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
If he shows up and Bruce and they're together and they have a scene together, we're not going to need to have known five Batman films. That's going to hit you.
Yeah, but it won't hit as hard because people didn't love Batman v Superman.
What do you guys think about this comment from Harry in the chat? The writers have a strong connection with New Line, with Horrible Bosses, Vacation. This hire was simply because WB CEO Emmerich knows them and can control them. That goes back a little bit to what you were saying, Mike, about wanting to be able to control. Does that make you more excited that possibly this would be about the DC execs with them being able to play chess?
I don't know.
Okay, well,
I don't know.
Well, it'll be interesting to find out when it was being announced, because I just have a gut feeling that it's not going to be called Flashpoint. But we'll see. I could definitely be wrong, and also I could be calling that shot just because if I'm later right, people will think I'm some kind of prognosticator, and if I'm wrong...
You did it with Batfleck!
I did, yes. But I was feeling it with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is kind of, not a big story, but it's kind of just something interesting. I guess people were tweeting at Paul Thomas Anderson, who wrote and directed Phantom Thread, Daniel Day-Lewis's final performance, which is a great performance, pretty good movie, I thought. I love all his stuff, though. I'm in the bag for this guy. He expressed, they said, if you could do a movie for kids, what would it be? And he basically said he would do a Teen Titans movie.
Some of his movies are effing brilliant. He's wonderful. Phantom Thread, not my favorite.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah, Boogie Nights. How do you fight against that? But this got, I was like blowing this way out of proportion because I believe I was with you, Mike, that you showed me this. And I was like, in what circumstance did he come out and say, I've got to make a Teen Titans movie.
He didn't. Not at all.
He literally just said Teen Titans and then hashtag ask PTA.
Yeah.
Like it's...
Yeah, it was just, they were just asking him questions. Yeah. I don't know, but what would you think if someone like that, this is kind of the opposite of what you were saying, like auteur, clearly this guy's an auteur director.
Yeah.
I don't see him getting in bed with WB or DC anytime soon.
But it is nice that he said that, you know, he has made such kind comments about superhero movies, saying that superhero movies kind of get a bad rap and that, you know, this is an art form that is kind of underappreciated, which is nice, but at the same time...
Very different than what Jodie Foster had to say for us.
For a guy that makes such, like, kind of arty films at times, I heard him, like, in the long form on, like, Mark Maron's podcast, and recently he was on Nerdist. He's such a down-to-earth kind of guy.
Dude.
He doesn't seem like what I imagine...
Stuffy Artur.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
gotcha.
But anyway...
And it also was interesting that he was saying that that's what he wanted to adapt it for his own children.
Yes.
Which is like probably about his childhood too, what resonated with him.
I would love that. I would love if Paul Thomas Anderson doesn't have executives in his head, but he's like, gotta make it so my kids like it. That would be the best sort of like albatross hanging over your head.
A Paul Thomas Anderson style fan film that's Teen Titans. It's just like Phantom Thread and super dramatic.
Oh my God.
But it'd be amazing.
Really funny.
Get
just
on
like
it, Internet.
Robin
I know you
and Starfire and all these. So speaking of Ben Affleck, which we always are.
Great segue, I loved it.
There are some people that are saying that fancy departure that he might have might be in Suicide Squad 2. Also, just to tie it back to the Flash thing, there were also rumors that he was offered Flashpoint, but other people said that was probably not recently. There are also other people that are thinking that like the damage between WB and Affleck is kind of done at that point. So I guess what I want to ask my esteemed panel here is, do you think there's a chance we'll see Affleck in Suicide Squad 2, and do you care?
I don't want Suicide Squad 2 to be his final appearance.
No.
I think that would be such a bummer.
When he says that he wants a graceful and cool way to exit, I don't think Suicide Squad 2 immediately. So,
yeah.
I mean, I he still has one film left on his contract, though, so it's going to be something.
I'm kind of confused about that.
Unless it's not.
I've heard that he had two films left on his contract.
It's one.
So.
I believe it's one. I've heard multiple times it's one, but it's really also it's up to WB whether they want to exercise that or not. I mean, they don't have to make another Batman film with him.
I feel like they'll at least have him cameo. They'll have him do something. If they have him on contract...
I guess this ties to the next topic, which is the Matt Reeves Batman, which had been debated about whether that is going to be in or out of continuity. So if that is not in continuity, which would be kind of weird, then wouldn't you want to move on to your new Batman? Or again, I guess goes back to, do you use Flashpoint, which I don't know how you use Flashpoint to make his face look like Gyllenhaal from Affleck. And then he's a different age, too.
Good CG.
So there's a lot in there, guys. What would you like to discuss in and of that?
Mikey, Mr. Strong but Silent over there.
I don't know what to say on this.
Look, I know you have a lot to say on this. I don't. Yes, you do. Don't lie.
Are you sad? With Gavin O'Connor and the accountant. Did you see the accountant?
I love the accountant. Yeah.
So, do you think he'd work well again?
I'm done on Affleck. I'm done on Affleck as Batman. He needs to go. I've said it before. I've talked about it. I was a supporter from September 13th.
You feel burned on it at this point.
No, I just think he's done. I think the wishy-washiness, I think his reluctance during the Justice League press tour soured the reaction to people. Just step away, man. It's cool.
Let me ask you guys this.
I do not believe in the WB has soured on him. WB, I think, looks at him as like their next Eastwood. Mm-hmm. Eastwood's not going to be around directing films forever. Affleck is their guy to direct. They want to keep him happy. He makes great films. They're not going to just say, oh, we don't like you. You're Batman. You suck for us. So bye, buddy. Whenever you're not coming to make films at this studio
they
anymore.
They both have to be smart business people.
Right. They want to keep him happy. They want a relationship that's going to be happy to work with.
I think it's also amicable. I think if everyone's ready to move on, I think if Justice League had been a huge success, that would also put things in a different place.
I will say
right
this
now,
as
too.
Well, though. Affleck is more so than any actor I know or see is so influenced by his personal life. When it's great, he seems to be all about Justice League. I'm going to be an ape in Matt Reeves' film, whatever. And it just came out. It was at the grocery store, and Jennifer Garner's dating Josh Duhamel now.
Yeah.
So I think Affleck is in probably a crap place right now.
I'd like someone to don the cowl that is very enthusiastic.
I want to see a person that dons the cowl that talks like Ray Fisher talks about the role.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Let me ask you guys this. Since Wonder Woman is kind of timeless, and we know we've seen her looking the same age in the past, is it possible that if Flash, and I'll go back on what I was going to say, if Flashpoint is a Flashpoint, and it does kind of reset things, is there everything can kind of be rebooted, including where Batman finds himself, if he's at that place, or
but
if that
ever
happens.
Everything rebooted, you mean except for our actors? Other than Batman, Batfleck
would be rebooted because it doesn't sound like he's going to be long
but
there.
But we're not ditching Gal. We're not getting rid of Jason or Ezra.
Gal, like her timelessness kind of helps. Yeah.
Well, except for one of them.
I guess.
That's just me.
Yeah. Sorry. See, I have this weird thing. I'm still not even... I feel like maybe Ezra might not be the Flash either. I don't know, guys.
Everybody loved him so much other than this Gal. I think we're screwed on that one. And by we, I mean me again.
All right, because everybody likes it.
Everybody loved him.
Yeah. But it does sort of feel like the momentum building up the demand for that Flash movie is a problem because they just haven't been building momentum. So they need to do something else to get people excited about DC movies again. Hopefully that's going to be Aquaman in a year.
I'm already excited about that.
I'm so excited about Aquaman.
Now, what about the Matt Reeves Batman? Do you think that will be in a continuity or out of a continuity? Or do you feel like that's going to be in a time? Or would you have any opinion on that?
It's
going to
be its own independent thing, I think.
You think it's not going to be a Batman that would interact with Gal?
I think that's so weird. How do you... That's BS.
You
have to have it in continuity.
At this point, everyone needs to stop saying reboot. They're not rebooting. We're not going to reboot. We're not going to wait 5 years and start over. They're not doing it.
Well, soft reboot is what I've kind of heard.
But even soft reboot, what is this? Soft reboot is what's going to happen.
It's X-Men kind of style.
Yeah.
I was about to say X-Men.
X-Men. But
thank you, Anthony in the booth. Yeah, I like X-Men style.
Guys, Marvel has fun names for him. We need a fun Anthony
People
name.
Are giving too much... Like all their if they keep Alfred, what's his, you know, do a Batman Forever, keep your Alfred, keep your Commissioner Gordon, That's and just surrounded by people is like, and people will buy the fact that it's a different actor.
What if they say
Mighty Christmas is not endorsing Batman Forever? He's just saying the way they kept some of the cast. Yes. Calm down.
And the nipples.
He's not saying bring back Schumacher.
Do you think that we should just not address? Oh,
that it's a different Batman? Absolutely not.
Just
go.
Don't address it.
Don't even.
So Rachel does it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And Dark Knight is the greatest comic movie, arguably of all time.
Right.
Yeah, but it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't Batman.
Do I like? I know, but. Do I like Rachel Dawes as Katie Holmes? Absolutely much better. She's a much better.
I thought she was better, too. We're in the minority. We're in the minority.
But people don't care. You didn't give it. Yes, I know it wasn't the lead character. I got it. But it's still the point of changing a major role.
I have no problem with it.
People won't care. They won't care.
I have one question, Mike. I have one question, panel. This is, I'm with you. Like, they switched up the Hulk, I thought.
Yes.
And that was fine, right? And
there you go.
Yeah, but half the time he's not.
Here's the one
half
issue.
Time he's not Bruce Wayne. He's Batman. There you go. All three goes.
Hey.
Here's the issue with this.
Worst
the
I've
one
ever.
Thing about replacing the Batman is like this. Are you then pot committed to having a Batman who's over the hill? And is that Gyllenhaal? Like, to
that's
me, Gyllenhaal,
the problem.
That's the one problem. That's the one thing I keep running into in my tiny little hamster brain.
Are you pot committed?
Pot committed, like I'm
I
all
I know
in.
What you're saying.
I poker
I think see, that's why
game.
Reeves is saying it's not in continuity. I think that's the problem.
So
I think
really
people, I think stuff is getting lost in translation. I think he is saying he wants to do the film, but not, I don't want to deal with a 20-year-old Batman. I want my Batman to be, you know, young and athletic and, you know,
right.
young.
Right, in his prime.
Oh. Right. And
what,
then by
say?
Saying it not in continuity, it's not the continuity established post these movies. It's in that 20-year period, which I think that's an amazing idea.
So set in the 90s or 80s.
It doesn't have to. We have not established a year in these films, so it can be pre-BVS. You just stick Jerry Maguire in. You stick J.K. Simmons in there.
We've established a time period.
Yeah, a time period. Yeah. Stick J.K. Simmons.
Okay.
You know,
so
use
then,
the same Batcave. You're fine.
Let me throw this out to you then. If you do that, let's say Matt Reeves' trilogy is 80s or 90s, right? And then when we have Batman appear in Suicide Squad, and let's say it's Gyllenhaal or whoever it is, do you then just do the classic Superman thing where you have like the gray in the hair?
Yes.
Do you just age him up to the Affleck age when it's appropriate? That might be an answer.
Yeah.
Chat roll, what do you guys think of that? I'm just trying to wrap my head around all this stuff and make it work. And ultimately, I don't really care about continuity as much as I care about good movies.
Yeah,
I agree
with that.
It all comes back to story, which we've been saying. As long as there's a strong central dramatic question, as long as there's a reason to care, but, and that's established, and we have a director who cares, which Matt Reeves seems to be the case, and we have somebody in that role who is completely dedicated, it's going to be a good movie, and we're not going to be thinking about previous movies because we're going to be focusing on what we're watching.
I hate to interrupt. I want to talk about Shazam and then we're going to get into TV time. So just to bring it all up to speed, Shazam's release date we knew is confirmed. It's April 19th. The production is ramping up because there has been a table read, which means there's a script. Mark Strong has been talking about being an evil bastard. He's Dr. Sivana. And
he's unfinished business in the DC universe. That's what he said.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Which he said, he's a very classy British guy. He said, you know, I quite like that film, but it didn't do what they wanted it to do. So I'm back because I have a bit of unfinished business. So good for him. That guy's really good.
He is.
And Shazam, just today, we learned, found his wizard, Ron Cephas Jones, who some of you know from This Is Us, and also from There's Mark Strong.
He is able to get me to cry like very few are.
Ron Cephas Jones?
Yes.
On This Is Us.
Oh,
Stan
my
Fogelman, that's getting you to cry.
God. No, but his performance.
I bet.
He is so beautifully,
is everyone just
subtly
crying
wonderful.
On that show?
I cry every day.
I hear it's
it.
A cry fest.
It's like just Parenthood 2.0,
it's
apparently.
It's so good.
So now what about Ron Cephas Jones, who was recently on Luke Cage? So another guy who's like in that smaller role and going back and forth. A lot of people are doing that. I loved him on Luke Cage. I haven't seen too much of This Is Us. But what do you guys think? How are you feeling about Shazam in general?
I'm actually really excited because I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Why
not? They hit it best. The quote, it's Superman by way of big. And I'm like, that's it. That's the character.
Yeah.
So they
with
can,
a little bit of Stranger Things.
So I'm like, there
in.
You go.
I'm all about
that,
it.
They know it.
Right. Like, you got the Stranger Things flavor. It really does seem like all the things that are hot. It's
going
really
to come
just
in
about
under the radar.
That
I think that movie's going to come
I think
under
so
the radar.
Too. I think so too. So The Wizard. Now, I'm a little, I haven't read too much Shazam and like New 52 and post all that. Maybe, I don't know if you know more, but like The Wizard used to be called Shazam. So now he's the wizard, and I also understand he used to be an old white dude. So, but the fact that they're actually casting a
person
of color. I
think the New 52 version was the person of color.
He's an Egyptian, or from Qatar, or Katan.
Kandak.
Kandak. Kandak, which falls somewhere geographically near Israel and Egypt in what they call the Troubled Zone.
Who's they, Adam?
Yes.
Troubled Zone.
It is a Troubled Zone. So we're excited for that. Also, did want to mention that Justice League has finally been announced, that it's coming out on Blu-ray, digital HD, I think February 13th, and then a month later for the hard copy.
But I'm excited to own that copy.
So
we can buy the digital?
No.
There was a trailer. Did you guys see that the bonus footage, the big bonus footage, is an extra scene? Are you guys let down that it's
scenes.
Just an extra
they
scene?
They said scenes.
It said scenes in the thing. Scenes. Okay, so maybe there are some that haven't been announced
yet. There's got to be.
But did you see the special features on that Blu-ray? It's enormous.
Yeah. A lot of special
features. Holy God, I love that. That's what I love.
And also, like, Walmart, come on. Telling everybody what's up before.
That's their MO.
Yeah,
let him have it.
Other people are still holding on to the fact that he can be called Captain Marvel. Just give it up, guys. That is not happening. And I personally don't want him to be called Captain Marvel. I always thought
Shazam.
He should be.
We'll see what kind of joke they make in there about it, though, at some point.
Yeah.
It does seem like Sandberg's going to. We're not going to watch it because there's no time right now, but there is a new clip and a trailer for Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay.
It looked good.
Yeah, it looks real good. Also getting an R rating, which seems consistent with what they're doing. They're like giving up on trying to pitch these to kids.
And real quick, people were bitching that they said, they made Amanda Waller skinny. Because in the version of Assault and Arkham, she was a larger woman.
Yes.
And they're trying to say, this and that. It's like, that Assault and Arkham was outside of the continuity of this film. This film is set in their New 52 rebirth version.
Sometimes she is skinny and sometimes she's not.
And she's skinny in that New 52.
It depends
please don't think DC did some kind of... They had to make her skinny. It's two different universes.
Much like Oprah, who is like the president of Weight Watchers.
There you go.
Goes up and down.
The guy is different.
Weight goes up and down sometimes. Yeah.
That
it's a struggle.
So true, and I love
her name
Oprah.
Is the Wall, so she should be big.
Remains the same.
I kind of like
that's
the bigger
the message.
I'm Amanda Waller.
You do.
Her nickname is the Wall. That's why they call her that.
Well, maybe a strong, a big,
just a barrel sized
freedom fighter.
Yeah.
So we have to move on into our televised segment right now because Roxy Stryer has got a little bit of a heart out. It's time.
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV time. All the girls think Johnny's fine.
He's not even here.
That happens every day.
TV time.
Holy crap, Bolam! Black Lightning premiered!
What?
Yes, and on Tuesdays, the CW's newest superhero suits up, because lightning's gonna strike, y'all. Don't miss the electrifying series, Black Lightning. Black Lightning, a.k.a. Jefferson Pierce, had previously powered down his crime-fighting career, and for the last 9 years, had been saving lives the best way he knew how, as the principal of a local high school. But in this city... When the hero's away, the gangs will play. And this dude's a family man, so when his people get caught in the crosshairs, it's time to take charge, man. Now the former hero is back in full force for a second round against corruption and violence, because lightning does strike twice. It's dark days for the city of Freeland, but this storm is coming when Black Lightning brings his power to the people. Not only will the series Black Lightning spark you up, but also the soundtrack is full of slamming hip-hop cuts like songs by Rum Fortune and old school hits from blues singer Nina Simone, Bobby Bland, and the great Isaac Hayes. So on Tuesdays, the world will know Black Lightning.
Black Lightning, go Black Lightning!
So you got Flash Lightning and then Black Lightning. It's an electric night for the CW.
Black Lightning is so... good.
Chat roll is really positive on Black Lightning right now.
It had its highest ratings in 2 years.
In two years for CW, and it was well deserved. It came out so hot in the first 8 minutes. It was like, boom. It hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm so excited to have this as part of our universe. How did you guys feel about it?
I mean... I'm always like nervous because they always start so strong.
I know.
The first season is strong. That's why I always get nervous with these long seasons because this, you know, but right now, it was great. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that there's a story that's not told, right? That he's been gone why he's gone. Well, we kind of know why he was gone and all this, and he's getting old. I love that. I love that.
Spoiler alerts, by the way, probably. Spoiler.
Well, this is all in the description. That he hasn't been Black Lightning for 9 years. And, like, I love that we see a character who's, like, not confident that he can still do it, doesn't want to do it, reluctant hero, all that great stuff, great acting.
Love the dynamic between the daughters.
Love the daughters.
So cool.
Yeah.
Interesting really cool. Age gap between the two of them, too. And
so there's
and
a parental
them.
Thing going on.
Yeah. Mikey? Not happy?
No.
Okay. It's so strong, and also I think that, not to get into, this is a little spoilery zone, but the ex-wife is interesting as a character because I feel like she is so anti-something until she has to be for it, and that speaks so loudly to so many people in the world. Like, you don't care about certain causes until it's in your backyard, and then you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Now do I have to flip-flop my viewpoint on this because it affects me? And I think that's a really interesting dynamic that they got into on the show also.
And Dexter's dad. Playing the Dexter's dad role again. Kind of like doing that classic. Did you see the show?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I did. I'm still kind of, we've talked about this before. I don't know why they've distanced themselves from the CW other shows. Saying... We're not part of that.
But in this episode, they mentioned I know. Other heroes. I feel like that was leaving the door open.
Did they?
Yeah, they said, why in other cities are heroes renowned, but you're not you're
I always play
a
devil's
black
advocate.
Man and you're a vigilante or something
I always
like that.
Play devil's advocate, and I don't like that I do that. So I'm playing devil's advocate with this show, and I shouldn't, but I am. People are having... They're loving the fact that he's retired, and now he this and that, but...
Guess who's back?
And then I go, well, didn't you guys have a problem with Ben Affleck's Batman being 20 years and now he's telling these stories and like, what's not the same? It's not the same thing. I'm like, okay, fair enough. To each their own. It's the, you know, he's a retired hero that's had years of a career as a superhero and he's not that anymore. It's kind of the same thing. But people, you know.
I mean,
I enjoy the show.
Though,
Let me ask you this. Because Black Panther's coming out and we talked about the music and you listed all these rappers and the Black Panther soundtrack is going to be a lot of hip-hop and this and that. Do you, and I don't know the answer to this, I'm just starting a conversation. Is that something that I would just feel, it almost seems like, I don't know how to say this without...
just say it and we'll try to help.
Yeah, I just feel like it's more than that. It should be more than, well, it's a person of color leading a show. It should be more than just rap music.
I get what you're saying, because on Luke Cage, they had the hip-hop.
Yeah.
But wait a second. And one of the biggest scenes in this show, there was like a classic rock song that was like the main track. But
listen, you think of like, if you think of rap music, Nina Simone is not who you think of.
But,
you know?
Right.
So that's,
I hear what you're saying, though.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course I do. But I think what's so cool about this show is how fitting that scene is, because we're at a high school.
I got you.
I think that that makes it
Black
different.
Panther hit me more because I was really excited for a score, you know, set within this African nation, and I was like, but then
you
I hear
wanted,
it's like
Sephardic music.
Not even that. Like, I want to see what they would do with the superhero version of this, and then like then they're listing off all these rappers that are going to be contributing on the soundtrack. I'm like, oh.
Well, I think
do you not enjoy rap music?
It's not for me.
From you, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just like country music. Not for me.
Yeah.
I cannot stand it. My girlfriend loves it. I hate it.
But I think it also comes from like a sociopolitical aspect where this is now saying that we are trying to make superheroes more accessible and also representing demographics that have been underrepresented up until this point.
That's
when people are saying, you know, even though we have traditionally had white young male leads.
Right.
And people buy tickets to that.
Right.
It's not just young white males who are buying those tickets.
Oh, I agree.
And that the fact that we now have somebody who can represent more of an audience directly. And on top of that, having superheroes traditionally always being introduced and having scenarios introduced in the comics that reflect the sociopolitical aspects of the time. I think that this is kind of the CW and...
Oh, no, I get that. I was just with the music for me. Maybe this is the wrong panel to ask. I should have asked a panel or you know.
Or a bunch of white dudes.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally.
Saying, hey, how do you guys feel? Do you feel like, are you guys going, well, here we finally got a TV show. Man, our soundtrack's going to be all rappers now? Great. Or are they going, yes, this part of the culture, it's us or, I'm curious to see that. I'm curious, guys,
Markia
please.
Markia from Marvel, she was tweeting at us saying she's so jealous that we get to talk about the show today. So we can ask we could talk to her and a bunch of people feeling. About it. I think that more so what's really great about it, though, is that they're appealing to a younger, hipper demographic. The CW is like, listen,
they're trying to
these
bring people
cool.
that are not already watching the CW shows, I
not
think,
not just
is
like
a big point.
The typical, exactly. like, nerdy... And by the way, that's me. I'm like a, so I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's not the typical like
you're
nerdy
a nerd
kind
slash
of...
bikini model, though. I mean, come on, anybody
thank you so
follows
much.
Your
thank
Twitter
you
feed
so much. That. But it's also like cool people and people of all. And I think that within the first couple minutes of this, when you see he's like, this is the third time I've gotten frickin' arrested this month. It's a totally different ball game. When he gets pulled, third time he got pulled over that month. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, no, there's a lot of that. And that rage was there. I loved seeing that. I mean, I, even though I'm not black and that's not my heritage, when that scene happened, anybody that pays attention to the news today, I felt that rage. I wanted his lightning to come out. To speak to your other point real quickly, though, about, you know, Batman or Black Lightning, I guess it's just, you can have the same given circumstances, but that doesn't mean it has the same effect. I mean, it either works or it doesn't
work.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm
and some of that has to do with your preconceived notions of what you want in a Batman film
see,
and
I,
having no
I
preconceived notion
of a Black I love the fact that he's older,
Lady.
That they went older with this actor, with the character.
Cross Williams,
I think,
he's amazing.
Well, oh God, what was I just talking about?
Friday Night Lights?
Well, no. Yeah, but Heart of Dixie. I was talking about, there's a counterpart, it's the new J.K. Simmons show.
Yeah.
And they're talking about how they went.
Country music and like
oh,
Heart
I can't
of Dixie.
Stand it. Cannot stay. My friend was on Heart of Dixie, so.
Oh, okay.
The show about the Cold War and
yeah, where it's like they went older and they said that's what we want to do. It's like you know, so many shows, especially CW, skews younger. The fact that they're going older, I love
what's
that.
What's interesting
I love
about
that
and I loved hearing what Crass had to say about this because at some point he's looking around and he's seeing that there's not that many black superhero roles and he's seeing them getting cast and he's getting older and he's like, crap, this is something I wanted my whole life. So this was really interesting. Quote of him that he told the Post Comics Rift when he was in Washington for the DC Comics event. He said, I wanted to be a part of it so bad. I was getting up in age. I just thought, maybe this is a dream that just won't be realized. And then Black Lightning came along. And it's not only is it fulfilling this dream of what I wanted, but it's more than that. It's telling a story that even more important in a package that's even more socially conscious than I could have ever hoped for. And I just thought that was so cool because imagine... how few roles, like if he wanted to book a superhero role and he's like, crap, I'm an actor, I've been working so long and I'm getting up there, what do I do? And then finally one landed for him. I just, as an actress, I felt that moment, like, that. Good for him. He's worked really hard for a really long time and he landed this.
Yeah, and I think it was a great premiere and there's a lot of story to tell, but I know they're going to have a great first season.
Yeah.
You know, because they bring up a lot of great questions, which is what you want in a long form story like this. And there are some really good characters. So anything else you want to talk about TV time before you have to bolt?
The Flash was so good this week. Holy crap, the Flash
Trial
was so
of
good.
The Flash?
So good this
Mark
week.
Valley.
New outfit.
He was the prosecutor.
Mark oh, Valley yeah,
Human
yeah.
Target on the old DC show.
Do
I
you
like
know?
That actor. I don't know him personally.
He did a great job.
I think he's a great actor. I just enjoy him as an actor.
And we'll see how that character develops in the show, because I wonder if he's going to end up kind of a supervillain.
It wasn't that episode. It was next week's where Elongated Man gets a suit, right?
Yes, and that's the costume. I believe we have an image of the Elongated Man costume. I've been loving the stupid pink costume. I think that's a great joke.
I thought it was kind of fun, too, but it is nice that he finally... Cisco at some point would make him a costume.
It was kind of funny that they made him weight longer. Or was it that they were trying to figure out like the unstable molecules kind of thing?
Yeah. Now that we're on Flash, and go back to the Flashpoint movie, do you also feel that I think what they're doing Flashpoint... We've seen four seasons of Flash with the Rogues Gallery. All these characters. I think the audiences need to see something different in a movie. They can tune in for free, and see Captain Cold, Mirror Master, Weather Wizard. We've seen it all done. We've seen the Rogues done well. So I think the movie, and that's why they're doing thinking Flashpoint, is like, we need to tread new ground. We can't just...
We did Flashpoint on the show.
We all agree that it was not. You don't do Flashpoint. See, you don't do Flashpoint without Wonder Woman and Aquaman. You don't do it. They just use we need a time travel flip. What we'll call Flashpoint.
That would be like saying that you could never have another speedster because we covered all the freaking speedsters.
That's different.
Okay.
There are a lot of speedsters.
All right, bye guys.
Roxy, for once, you've got to take off, and not me.
So go find Roxy Stryer. Because
somebody was late.
Roxy, where can people talk to you? I was late. It's my fault.
I wasn't even talking about you. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. That's where I'll tell you what I am doing on Fridays on Only Stupid Answers. I go over all of the DC and Marvel shows. So if you want to check that out, then go to Only Stupid Answers. Only Stupid Answers.
Where does it live?
Only Stupid Answers. You can check it out. They have a Patreon. And if you check them out on Twitter, take out the vowels. Only Stupid Answers. With Sam Basher and DJ Woldridge, two other people who came over from SourceFed, who nabbed me up, and we do that show.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you, Roxy Stryer. While we're talking about The Flash, we will mention Bill Goldberg's going to be on The Flash as Big Sir.
Goldberg?
Are you familiar with Big Sir?
Big Sir?
He was Drop some Big Sir science,
Hold
Mikey.
On a second. If I recall, Big Sir, he had a blue suit, he had like this yellow glasses, and he was kind of like, whoa, dopey.
Yeah.
But I thought he was from like a Legion of Doom villain. I thought...
Anthony, did you see the...
Big Sir. I know what he looks like. I know what he looks like in the comics. What do they call when you go deep into the well?
A deep cut.
Big Sir. Yeah, I think he had like antennas on his ears, and it was blue and yellow.
The picture that they put online is just Barry and him in the prison yard.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can see the two of them. So it looks like they're going to have sort of an amicable relationship, possibly.
Yeah, there's that picture.
Yeah.
So you see, like, he's probably going to be taking care of a little bit, Barry. Yeah. And it's going to be cool to see Barry.
You call me Big Sir, I'll take care of you in here.
I hope they keep him in prison for a couple of episodes. I kind of like the dynamic, and I like that Elongated Man is out there having to do that kind of stuff.
Are you caught up
in any of this, Elena?
I'm not. I'm a little behind.
Okay. Well, you watch a lot of TV. It's okay. Yeah. You got a lot.
What is your current like obsession in the world of TV right now?
Oh,
I gotta look up Big Sir.
Jeez, I have a lot of shows that I
any of the comic book ones that are like your favorite. Could be Marvel or DC. Just curious. Like, what's your must to? Like, you don't even like for it to sit on your DVR. Like, you got to get to it when it's fresh.
Well, I'm always at least like a couple days behind on everything. I do love Flash though, but I love iZombie.
Sure. I know Roxy loves that one too. Still have not gotten there.
See? Myself. I told you.
Creature's so
big goofy guy with the.
Oh my god. Anthony, you can put up a picture of Big Sir if you could find it.
Yeah, guys, here it is right here. I don't know if you could. They'll still throw it up there, but that's exactly what I remember him looking like. The big. Like, look at his face. He's kind of like. Type in Big Sir DC Comics. That'll bring that up.
I'm hearing your Big Sir.
If I had the audition, I'd be like, hey, Barry, I'll take care of you. I got your back.
Do you
got my back.
He's going to get out of prison and, like,
and put
the
that
team?
Outfit on? I hope he puts that outfit on.
It would be a good gig for a Goldberg.
Look at him. Oh, he looks. I mean, yeah, he's like, whoopee-dope.
He looks great for the part. I love it.
Those old DC Who's Who comics are coming in handy. That's what I remember. Yeah, there it is. Look at him. Whoopee-dope.
That is clearly the voice coming
look
out.
Look at him because he's got the teeth. He's like, whoopee-dope.
100%. He doesn't even have any lines. It's just that.
That's whoopee-dope.
And, like, clearly, he's never been in an animated film, so when you ever read him, this was the voice that was coming
out. Yeah, I've never seen that before. But, like, just look at that artist. That's brilliant. You've got the character the way he draws him.
Like, he's got very large feet. He looks like. He can, looks like you can almost use a gorilla grod.
He's like the guy who was
swinging.
Swing, hit, and bash you around and stuff.
People are going to be going on fire with Mike Kalinowski's voice for Big Sir. When I saw Big Sir, I was like, "Oh, is this going to be like a Native American character? Is it like Big Sir?" I didn't know what direction it went, but I guess not. He's just like a Big Sir, and he likes to be addressed as such.
So Barry's like, "So what I call you?" You call me Big Sir.
Call me Sir.
Sir, anything else? No, you're big, and I'm a sir. Okay?
Not to cross too far back into the world of films, but... let's cross back. As a possible follow-up to Gotham by Gaslight, as long as we're doing Elseworlds, we have some talk about a possible Superman...
Red Sun.
So, guys, what do you think about Red Sun being adapted? Bruce Timm, the animation figurehead.
Gotham by Gaslight's coming out this month.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
No, it's...
February.
I thought it was March.
February. Oh. Now, they broke their trend, because they would do two set in the... DC UA,
right?
AU, Animated Universe. And then one, like Assault on Arkham. Mm-hmm. But now they put Gotham by Gaslight first.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, which is in the DC AU.
And then Superman.
What's the fourth?
Superman Death and Returns. They're doing a two-part Death of Superman.
And now is that set in the...
That is... No, that's...
Because that's going to come out in the fall.
I think that's going to be set in its own world.
So this year they did three, but two... outside continuity, one inside continuity. Interesting.
Just to reiterate the release to Gotham by Gaslight.
Yes, thank you, Anthony.
So digital download is going to be available January 23rd, which is the following week.
They do January.
1, 2, 3.
And then February.
DVD and Blu-ray is going to be February 6th.
I hate that they release them separately. I hate separate. That.
It's the I only way they can.
And it's not cheaper or anything. It's I just don't know why. I don't know if it's something the digital companies get like a...
I think it has to do with, you know... preference with space if you don't want the physical copy.
Well, I mean, I get that. I just wonder what gives why the digital company gets the
gets it first. I think it's to push because most people want the physical copy still.
I guess so.
But they're trying to push the mentality of getting digital versions.
Yeah. And there you go.
If you get the digital version first, then that's an extra impetus to
I just wish they would do something like, hey, buy this. Then you could buy it. We'll give you in the packaging $10 off to purchase it. You know, the fact that you've got to buy it twice, I'm like, I hate that.
It does seem a bit excessive. Yeah. It seems like digital download should just be included. Like, it used to be back in the day.
When you get it, when you buy it eventually, you get a digital copy. So then you've got two.
It should be day of.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So what do you think about Red Sun?
I like it. I just think there's so many better ones. I think Kingdom Come. I think what Bruce Timm has even said,
he's
like, but Bruce Timm has said, he's like, you guys don't understand what goes in animation. Like and Kingdom Come is so much what we love about it is the animated, arts. The art.
Yeah.
So he's like, that is not something it's we can lot. Do. It's it just, you guys would not be satisfied. Like,
it's difficult.
New Frontier, Darwin Cook style, I believe that's the name Darwin Cook, right? His style is so very built for animation. It looks animated. True. It's old Disney style.
How do you like how they totally adapted Dark Knight for Dark Knight Returns?
I thought it was great. See, I hated that they did part one too. Hated that. That was a money grab BS.
But it was nice to have the length, the breadth of the
story.
Yeah,
but then they eventually released both of them on one together. And that I bought.
I like that because, you know, when you look at it, it really it conveyed Frank Miller's art. But then
but
when
Frank
you look
Miller's
back
art
at the
is
art,
very blocky.
It's totally it's like, but it didn't even look like there's also tons of lines and they're like, but it still conveys it. And I think you're right. Like the thing with Alex Ross art is photorealism.
Yes,
and you
that's the point of
that would be
his Alex Ross.
It would be $150 million movie. Like,
right, like that's what Bruce Timm said is the expense would be ridiculous.
Did you see like the animation for the upcoming Spider-Man film? Looks
I
like,
did not like it.
Really?
No, I didn't like that.
Really? Really
I didn't like that stuff. That
liked
real
it.
Blocky, computery.
Real quick, since I know Adam's played the Telltale Heart
games.
Yes.
That art style actually reminds me, like from the Spider-Man movie, animated one coming out, it reminds me of the Telltale Heart series video
I game. Finally sat down and played the first season of that.
Okay.
Ah, what'd you think?
Dude, like I played the first episode. I'm like, I don't know if I can get into this. I did like it, but I just like, I don't know. I like the faster pace. So for Christmas, I then had gotten the second game. So I was like, I gotta finish the first one. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So much fun, right?
Spoilers, the game's over a year old. But Vicky Vale is the children of Arkham? Lady Arkham? I was like, I blew my mind.
No, they make bold choices with storytelling.
Do not watch. The trailer for episode 4 of season 2 came today. It spoils something.
Oh, really?
Lucius Fox.
Oh,
I didn't know that, and then they should have seen him on. Yeah, I was like, come on, like that, and Alfred's eye. Like I didn't know any of that. I'm so far behind.
Yeah, they really.
Like,
the cool thing about this series, like, it doesn't play safe when it comes to continuity of story.
But Bruce and Selena in episode 3.
Was intense.
I was like, wow.
I was like, sleep with her, stay there, do
sleep
it.
With her, take her, kiss her,
now.
This.
Yes, he would do this. Trust me, I know my bad.
Oh, name. that this game, I love it. I'm gonna finish episode 5 tonight of season 1.
See, I did season 1. I started. I think I did the first one of season 2, and then I got into playing Arkham Origins, which I had never played before.
Oh, so good.
So I went all the way back, so now I'm deep in Arkham Origins, and I have to finish that before I
They're
go.
They're great. Those
I
games are great.
Yeah. I can't do multiple at once.
But agreed, Anthony, what you said, the style is very... Yeah,
style.
It is.
It's kind of telltale-y.
Okay, I don't know if we have any more big stories to talk about. It was very nice to have you back here today.
It's great to be back.
Hopefully it won't be too long before the next time.
Yeah.
And Elena, always a pleasure. Tell people where they can find you.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And you can also check out the next season of my podcast, RelativityPodcast.com.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm Mike Kalinowski. You can find me at Mike Kalinowski. I got a hopefully a match coming up in the Schmodown. Work might be a little messing with that. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm planning on being there. Sorry I haven't been here, guys. It's just been, work has been a challenging thing over the past couple months.
We're all busy people.
It's good.
Work is good. This is all voluntary, guys. We don't get paid the big bucks for this. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, real quick, before you get to please, guys, reach out to me. If you have, what I just talked about, that Black Lightning with the music and Black Panther, I would love people's opinion, people of color's opinion on this, because I don't. I'm very curious. It's something to me. I'm very curious to see about that, how they feel, and if are they excited about it, saying, hey, this is our culture, or like, why does every time we get a film that's led by people of color, we got to put rap music in it? Why? We're more than that. We're more than that. And I'm curious. So please tweet out if you have opinions on this. I'd love to hear it.
That's very good stuff. Also, Ivan Soto, thanks for pointing out, Seamus Dever was...
From Castle.
Yes. Was cast on the Titan show.
I'm excited for that show.
I'm really excited.
Everything that's
for
come
that
out
show.
Looks really good.
I can't wait to...
Hawk and Dove to finally see on the big screen.
Yeah. I need to like cash in that CBS all access thing, because I don't use
the
that
fact
thing.
That we have we're getting a Hawk and Dove and we still don't have the question showing up anywhere. That's just sacrilegious. No. That is sacrilegious.
I know you're not the only people. I hear your friend John Rocco always talking about wanting the question, too. It's like you guys are like the question fan club.
He's so built for television, it's insane. Perfect for television.
Well, I'm sure we will see it soon. My name's Adam Gertler, guys. You can find me online at Adam Gertler. Tune in to FX. This week, we're going to be watching the first two Maze Runner films with the cast and director of the Maze Runner films.
As Dylan O'Brien's going to be there?
Yes. I was hanging out with Dylan and so Kaya and the whole crew. And the director, Wes Ball, and we hung out. We watched the first couple of movies. We talked about them. And then Death Cure is coming up, and I got to see Death Cure.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was by far the best of the series.
I heard such good things about those series.
It like, looks bigger.
I just disregarded them as like those young adult stuff.
Oh,
but
I hear they're
really good.
Yeah.
So I think I might... finally, just when they're all three of them out, just going for it.
So hopefully we're going to be doing some stuff online, and I'll be like tweeting along with watching those movies. As I'm watching those movies, it's meta upon meta on meta. That's going to be on FX. You know where it is.
You want to talk about Dylan O'Brien? That's Nightwing. We just want to talk about who the casting is.
That is first person to say
that. Is a Nightwing. Watch American Assassin. That is Nightwing right there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're still casting for
some people
Nightwing
like him
there.
As they want him as Red Hood, but I'm like he is
Nightwing,
a Dick Grayson, man.
Oof. So much, guys. Juicy news to come in 2018. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on DC Movie News.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.